Heaven and earth shall all pass away, but there's something about that name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's something about that name. Now, we're going to school this morning. I want you to listen to me. I've got something to say. As Brother Barnard said one time, I know when I'm preaching. And my subject today is true repentance glorifies God. True conversion glorifies God. Now, judgment does not produce repentance that glorifies God. Wrath converts no man. Now, this is absolutely contrary to what you hear today. But wrath converts no man. Fear alone will never convict a man of sin or bring him to Christ. Just will not do it. Let me read a text. Revelation 16, verse 8 and 9. Now, this is shocking, but it's true. Revelation 16, 8 and 9. Judgment will not produce true repentance. Wrath converts no man. In Revelation 16, verse 8, and the fourth angel. You'll never read any more wrath than this. The fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. This may or may not be an atomic blast. I don't know. But men are scorched with fire, and men will be scorched with great heat, and they'll blaspheme the name of God. Here they are burning to a crisp. And they fell on their knees and they cried, Lord, forgive us because we've been so wicked. No, they, damn you, God. That's their reaction. Read on. They curse and blaspheme the name of God who has power over these plagues. They came from God. God sent them. God brought them to pass. And they blasphemed his name who brought them to pass, and they repented not to give him glory. They will not give him glory. They will not give him glory. As one of our preachers said last night in the service, they will not have this man reign over them. The fire and wrath and judgment of God falls upon men on the earth, and they're scorched with heat and thirst and pain. But they repent not to give God the glory. They will not bow. They will not honor him. They will not glorify him, but they'll blaspheme him instead. Judgment does not produce grief over sin. It does not produce conviction of sin. It does not produce true repentance. Let me show you that. Don't turn to this. It may take some of you a few moments to find it. But I want to read you a scripture in Amos. Listen to this. God said to Israel, I've given you famine. I've given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities. You don't have enough to eat to get your teeth soiled or dirty. I've given you want of bread. And yet you have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. He said, I've smitten you with blasting and mildew when your gardens and your vineyards were almost ready to pick. I sent the worms to devour them. What'd you do? Fall on your faces and plead for mercy? No. He said, you would not return unto me, saith the Lord. I've overthrown some of you as I overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. I've slain your young men with a sword. You were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Did it do any good? Did it bring you to your knees? You did not return unto me. Isaiah said, why should you be smitten? Why should you be afflicted? You'll only revolt more and more. Judgment does not produce repentance. Any preacher that thinks that it does is fooling himself and deceiving the people. You can go to the people and hold up hellfire and wrath and judgment and all these things, and it will not make one bad man better. It will not bring repentance. There's no repentance for sin in hell. There's no sorrow for sin in hell. The rich man begged for a drop of water, but he didn't beg for forgiveness of sin. He begged that Abraham would send somebody back to warn his brothers, but he did not beg for mercy because of his transgressions. He did not acknowledge his sin. He did not acknowledge any wrongdoing. Now, my friends, judgment and wrath may produce a form of repentance. Men fool one another. They even deceive themselves. That's how come religion so popular today and religious organizations are making so much headway, is we're deceiving others and deceiving ourselves. We are deceivers. We're seducers. We're dupes. We've been duped by merchandisers of souls. Judgment and wrath and hellfire preaching, they say, give them hellfire and brimstone, won't do any good. It won't bring repentance. It won't bring conviction. It won't bring true repentance that glorifies God. It may bring a form of repentance. It may bring a form of concern and a form of conversion. It may bring a mock conversion, but not genuine repentance. I'm going to show you that. Judgment and wrath may bring a form of repentance. For example, Cain. He experienced a form of repentance. He experienced a form of repentance that was born of what?
Fear of punishment.
What did he say? When God pronounced upon him this judgment, he said, My punishment is more than I can bear. My punishment. That's where his thoughts were. His thoughts were not upon his guilt. His thoughts were not upon the blood of his brother, which he had shed. His thoughts were not upon his crime, which he had committed. His thoughts, Job, were on his punishment. Don't want to go to hell. I don't want to perish. My punishment's too great. God, you're too severe. A repentance born of a fear of punishment. Tell you another kind of repentance that's born of judgment. And that's a repentance that is temporary. And it disappears with the disappearance of the plague and the judgment. Pharaoh. Moses came down there and said to Pharaoh, said, God said, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, well, who's the Lord that I should obey him? And Moses says, he's I am. He's the God of heaven and earth, the God of creation. Pharaoh said, I'm enjoying these slaves too much. They're going to hang around. So Moses turned the water into blood. And Pharaoh said, now that's going to be bad for the crop, so I believe we'll let them leave. I believe we'll let them go out there and worship their God just about 2 miles out in the desert, and they leave their children here. Moses said, no! Not a hoof or a hair will be left behind. We're all going out. So God sent frogs and lice, and God sent all these different things, and Pharaoh would change his mind every time, and he'd say, well, maybe I ought to let them go. You know, this is pretty tough. And finally, God killed the firstborn in his home and every home, and he said, get out! Get out! He's truly repentant. He's truly broken. But he let the Israelites get out there so far and he changed his mind again. He got over his sorrow. Huh? He got over his trouble. Even the death of a firstborn, after a while, time healed it. And he went after those Israelites. So there is a temporary repentance, and there's a temporary mourning, and there's a temporary concern. When plagues come upon us and trials come upon us. You see that all the time. Here the preacher's been trying to win Brother Jones to the Lord, or Brother Smith, or Brother Brown to the Lord, and Brother Brown's wife dies, and he gets real religious. You know, and the preacher goes to see him, and they sit down and talk, and they shake hands, and he cries, and they read a verse of Scripture, and he says, well, I'm going to meet Marty in heaven. I'm going to give my heart to Jesus. You know, he shakes the preacher's hand. There he is Sunday morning. Everybody's so glad. There's old Brother Brown. He's right there in church this morning. Maudie's dead, and he wants to meet Maudie in heaven. And the preacher preaches, and Brother Brown gives a good gift that Sunday. Boy, he loads her up that Sunday. He's real religious now. He's repented. He's trusted the Lord, and he gives his offering. He's the first one Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. There he is sitting in prayer. He's the first one there. Next Sunday morning, he's the first one there, and then it kind of fades away. Old Marty gets forgot pretty quick, you know. And when Marty's forgot, Jesus is forgot. Because Marty was his salvation. Marty was his repentance. Marty was his conviction. You see what I'm saying? There's a temporary, and I'll tell you something else. There's another. I've seen this too much. It doesn't fascinate me anymore. When people make professions at funerals and during trials and during pestilence and famine, a fella gets sick and goes to the hospital, and somebody calls me and says, "Skedaddle down to see him." How'd he, Brother Whaley, gets well? Run down there and talk him into a profession of faith. You go talk him into one. Because I know it's not going to last. I've seen too many of them. Brother Spurgeon said the only thing wrong with deathbed repentance is they forget it when they get well. Trial and judgment never produces true repentance. Never. It never will. It never will. It produces a repentance that stops short of the vital issues. Huh? Thirdly, it produces a repentance that stops short of the vital issues. Herod heard John. In fact, he made a big effort to hear him. He made a big effort to hear him. He liked John. He respected John. He admired John. The Scripture says he did many things. There's one thing he didn't do. He didn't part from his old ways. He stayed right in the way he was living all the time. And he never budged out of it. He never budged out of it. Though he wept, and though he did many things, and though he admired the preacher, and though he went to hear him, and though he supported him, and though he sure hated to cut his head off, but he stayed right in his old ways. That's not true repentance. That's temporary repentance. I tell you another so-called repentance is that it comes as a result of trial, and that is when a person mourns the loss of benefits. They mourn the loss of blessings. Old Esau lost his birthright. And the Scripture says he cried about it. He cried about it. He wept. He wept. And then there's a repentance that will lead to despair. Judas came back and said, "I betrayed innocent blood." And he went out and hanged himself. That's despair. That's repentance that leads to death. Now this is what I'm saying. And I'm telling you the truth. It doesn't get a big following. It doesn't make folks happy. It doesn't dignify the flesh. But it's true. Paul said, "Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I'm sworn and dedicated to telling you the truth. Because I'm going to be truthful to myself. I don't want to miss Christ. If I miss him, you're going to miss him if I preach to you. If you believe me." Fellow said one time, said, "Be careful what you preach. Somebody might believe you." Judgment and wrath and fear does not produce true conversion. Judgment and wrath and fear does not produce true repentance. Trial, whether it be prosperity or whether it be poverty, trial does not make bad men better. It makes wise men better. That's right. Trial, poverty, prosperity will make saved men better. You take God will bring a trial into the life of one of his children. It'll make him pray more, love more, trust more, wait on God more. That's right. Trial will bless. David said, "It's good for me that I've been afflicted." Good for me. Trials are good for me. And trials will make a saved man better. But it won't make a bad man better. It'll make him profess to be better. It'll make him put on a show. It'll make him tremble over his loss. It'll make him tremble over his loss of benefits. It'll make him make all kind of professions. But it won't make his heart any better. He's still the same man. Tell you something else. Affliction. Affliction will teach a son. But it'll harden a rebel. It'll harden a rebel. Men may weep over the fact of punishment, But they never weep over the cause of it. The cause of punishment, sin. God's wrath is against sin. God deals with men in judgment because of sin. And they'll weep over the fact of punishment, over the presence of punishment, over the pain of punishment, but they'll never weep over the cause of it. Men may weep over the loss of heaven. I wanted to go to heaven. But they won't weep over that that kept them out of heaven. That's their sins. To prove to you beyond a shadow of a doubt that misery does not produce repentance is Satan is no better because of his misery. Satan still hates God and is not a better theologian on the face of the earth than Satan. There's not a person, James says you believe in one God, the devil believes and trembles but doesn't repent. Misery does not produce repentance. Pain does not produce repentance. Affliction does not produce repentance. Hell will not produce repentance. Not true repentance. Well, you say, why preach those things, preacher? Well, we've got to be faithful in our preaching to the Word of God. All the way through this scripture, it says it's appointed unto men once to die. I've got to preach that. I've got to be faithful to this congregation. After that, the judgment. That's just a fact. As sure as there's a God in heaven, you're going to die. As sure as this book is His Word, you're going to face God in the judgment. If you're without Christ, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. That's what my Lord says. God will bring every work into judgment, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God will by no means clear the guilty. But my friend, I add to all of that, wrath converts no man. It's the grace of God that saves. Wrath converts no man. Turn to Romans 2. Wrath, judgment, fear of punishment, fear of hell. It'll bring a temporary concern. It'll bring a temporary conviction. It'll bring a temporary repentance that's based on fear of punishment. Fear of loss of blessings and benefit based on all of these things. But it'll never bring true repentance that glorifies God and leads to salvation. In Romans 2, verse 4, the Scripture says, the last line, it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. It's the goodness of God. It's not judgment. It's not wrath. It's not condemnation. It's not fear of hell. It's the grace of God that brings repentance. It's the goodness of God. Now, let me give you an illustration. Any man here, any woman here, you say, I fear no man. I'll bow to no man. That depends on how strong he is. That depends on how much power he's got. Now, I'm not saying that as a believer, a man will put a gun to your head, a maniac, put a gun to your head and say, deny Jesus Christ. No, that you wouldn't do that. I don't believe any believer here will do that, wouldn't want to. But if a man strong enough and powerful enough puts a gun to your head and said, get on your knees, you're going to get on your knees. If he says, crawl to the door there, you'll crawl to the door. You want to live, crawl to the door. That's overwhelming force. That's an overwhelming power. If there's a tornado coming here at 50 miles an hour, and we've got a basement down here, and our only hope is to go hide in the basement and get up in the corner as far as we can, we're going to skedaddle down there if we got any brains. That's an overwhelming force. Men bow before an overwhelming power and force. That's sheer power and sheer force and sheer majesty out of sheer fear. But only a true repentant son will bow before the throne of God because he wants to. Out of respect and love and awe and worship. God can make you bow and force you to bow, and someday you will. Every tongue shall confess and every knee will bow. But true repentance bows without being forced to. You see what I'm saying? Judgment. Fear of judgment. God could announce it. He could send me this morning as His preacher and His prophet and say to you, if you folks don't make a profession of faith and be baptized tonight, I'm going to wipe you out Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Well, we'd just all of us have to baptize all night long, wouldn't we? If you were convinced, I was telling the truth. If you're convinced, I was telling the truth. That's the reason these preachers get up and say,
Jesus may come tonight. They're trying to scare you into the baptismal pool.
That's exactly what they do.
You may die tonight.
Teach you feel your heart, and right then it just feels like it's getting bigger and bigger, you know. Preacher Jesse Henley preaches, and people take their pulse rate. He preaches on hell every time he gets up to preach, and somebody, Joe Henry Hankins, that fellow does it, and people will grab their seat, they're going to make it through the service, you know, so they can get out in front and make a profession of faith. You can show that picture, the roaring inferno. Is that what Billy Graham put out? And have 100 conversions that night. Show hell. Show them hell. They'll come down. That's not true repentance. That's not true repentance. That's not true repentance. That's not a repentance that glorifies God. Well, preacher, what is a repentance that glorifies God? The grace of God, the love of God, the goodness of God that produces in the heart of a son godly righteousness and repentance, godly conviction, godly mourning over sin, a godly consecration and trust in Christ. Let me give you about 5 or 6. Turn first of all to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. How does true repentance glorify God? They repented not to give God the glory. True repentance glorifies God. How? First of all, true repentance. True repentance. True repentance acknowledges sincerely and most heartily and willingly acknowledges God's sovereignty and God's majesty and God's right to do with His own what He will. That's true repentance. That's true repentance. Now watch Job 1. They came to Job and told him that all of his children were dead, his cattle were gone, his oxen were gone, his she-asses and sheep and everything. And verse 20 said, Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's true repentance. True repentance acknowledges lovingly and willingly and most heartily that God Almighty can do with me what He will. He has that right and that privilege because He's God. That's true repentance. And Eli said the same thing. Eli had some sons that were real rebels. And God came to Samuel and He said, I'm going to deal with Eli's sons. He hasn't dealt with them. He hasn't rebuked them. I'm going to kill them both. And Samuel came and told Eli what the Lord had said. And listen to what Eli said. Listen, this true repentance. It's the Lord. Let Him do what He will. Now that's true repentance. That's repentance. That's a conversion, and that's a submission. And that's what repentance is. I know people say, well, it's a turning. I know, but a fella can turn and not repent. Well, it's a change. Yeah, but oh, what a change. It's not only a change of manners, it's a change of masters. It's a change of mind, a true change of mind. And this is repentance. Repentance is submission. Submit! Not because I made you, not because you're scared not to, because you want to. That's true repentance. Because you want to. Not because you're afraid of the next blow that's coming down on your head, but it's God. Let Him land the blow. It's God. Let Him deal with me. It's God. It's God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Our Lord Jesus even prayed that way. He said, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, Thou hast hid these things from the smart aleks and revealed it to babes. It seemed good in Your sight. I thank You. I thank You. I thank You. In everything give thanks. This is the will of God for you. Can you? Repentance does. Repentance does. I tell you, preacher, I just can't give thanks for my afflictions. Repentance does.
I just can't give thanks for my trials. Repentance does. Because you know who sent it. God sent it. That's true repentance. I'm telling you the truth. That glorifies God. You see, they repented not, Charlie, to give God the glory. Now, repentance is going to give God the glory. Repentance is not going to give the church the glory because they won you to Jesus. Repentance is not going to give the Sunday school teacher the glory because he taught you the good and right way. Repentance is not going to give the preacher the glory because he won you to the Lord. Repentance is going to glorify God. True repentance. He's God. He's God whether I believe it or you believe it. And repentance knows it. Secondly, true repentance glorifies God by admitting His righteousness and my evil. That's the way Jay prayed a while ago. Show us who you are one more time. And I know good and well if He shows us who He is, we're going to find out who we are. Men do not find their sins looking at the law. They find their sins looking at the holiness of God. That's right. I'll show you that in the Bible. I'll go all the way through the Bible and show you that men saw themselves only when they saw God. Isaiah knew the law, but and in Isaiah 5, all he said was, "Woe is you, woe is you, woe is you." He thought he was blameless before the law. But then in Isaiah 6, he said, "I saw the Lord, and I said, woe is me." Read it for yourself. Daniel saw the Lord, and his comeliness melted into corruption. Good old Job, righteous Job, who feared God and hated evil. Yet he didn't really see himself till he saw God. And when he saw God, he said, "I abhor myself. I hate myself. I've been popping off at the mouth. I'm not going to say anything else. I'm a vile creature." True repentance acknowledges God's holiness, righteousness, and true repentance admits my evil and my sin. This is a struggle. It's hard. One day our Lord Jesus Christ showed His power and His might to His disciples by letting them catch a whole net full of fish when they'd toiled all night and caught nothing. And when Simon Peter saw the power of Christ and the presence of Christ and the control and dominion of Christ, even over the fish of the sea, he fell down on his face and said, "Lord, depart from me. Get away from me. I'm a sinful man. I'm not worthy of your presence. I'm not worthy of your blessings. I'm a wicked man. Lord, you've got no business being in my company." Well, how many here this morning? I ought not even ask that, should I, you know. That put us all under conviction. Feel like, you know, that you and the Lord are pretty close. It's only by His grace if you are. Nothing came from your side. You resisted and rebelled against Him all you could. Somebody asked an old colored gentleman one time, said, "How'd you get saved?" He said, "Well, the Lord saved me and I did the rest." He said, "You did the rest. What was the rest?" He said, "I bucked Him and rebelled against Him and ran from Him. I did the rest." True repentance glorifies God by admitting His righteousness. God's holy. Awesomely, fearfully holy. In His presence, it's all such pure light that not one glimmer of darkness can invade it. You don't want to stand there without the righteousness of Christ. You might as well crawl in that blast furnace down there as to walk into God's presence without Christ. You'd stand a lot better chance. God said, "Moses, you can't even look on me and live, let alone get in my presence." True repentance, thirdly, glorifies God by acknowledging His sovereignty. The Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. True repentance glorifies God by admitting His righteousness, and my sinfulness. Thirdly, true repentance glorifies God by confessing the justice of God's judgments. Now, if I hadn't already buried us, I'm going to bury us here. And I mean bury us in the sands and dust of true repentance. Let me ask you some questions. Will God punish sin? Yes, sir.
He not only will, but he has. He will punish sin. All sin? Yes, sir, I believe that. Is God just to punish sin? Is he righteous and just to punish sin? Should he deal with sin? Should he punish sin? Yes, sir, he should. You believe that?
Really believe.
Yes, I do. I believe God is holy and men are unholy. Well, you're halfway to repentance. All right, let me ask you another question. Would God be just to punish your sin? Your sin. Would God be just to send you to hell? I mean right now, with your shoes on. Open the ground and swallow you up like he did the sons of Korah. Just take you to hell with your shoes on. Right now. Do you believe God be just to do that? What about your son and daughter? Would God be just to send them to hell? Would God be just to punish their sins by the wrath of his eternal fire and brimstone? You going to get mad at God if he does that? No, preacher, I'm not. Then you are repentant. That's right. Turn to Psalm 51. You're not repenting. You're not repenting. You're not repenting until you can justify God not only in his holiness, but in his judgments. I'm telling you the truth. Psalm 51. True repentance. I'm talking about that repentance that glorifies God. I'm not saying that I want to go to hell. I'm not saying that I want God to punish me. I'm not saying I want God to punish my son or daughter or good friend or his daughter or son. But God would be just if he did. That's what I'm saying. He'd be righteous. David said here in Psalm 51, verse 4, Lord, I've sinned against you. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. I've done this evil in your sight that you might be justified when you speak and clear when you judge. I clear God of all responsibility. Do you? My fault. It's his fault. It's their fault. It's her fault. It's all our responsibility. I clear God. I clear God. If he sends me to hell, Jay, I clear him. He's clear. He's just. He's righteous. I had a man tell me one time standing by his mother's casket, well, if my mother's not in heaven, nobody's there. Hang on there, buddy, just a moment. God's there. God's there. And he is there before your mama was born. And he'll be there if your mama goes to hell. Now, let's just face it. God's just. Don't you get mad at God. That's the worst thing you can do, is entertain thoughts of rebellion against God's justice. That's the worst position you can find. My friend, God deals in mercy, mercy. Any man who wants to face God and demand justice is going to get it. I guarantee you he'll get it. But I don't want justice. And I don't want justice for Jay or Hap or Richard or Bob or Paul or Eddie. I don't want justice. I want mercy, don't you? A lot of it. A whole lot of it. I need a lot of it. I need it more than anybody. But I'll tell you this, he doesn't give it to me, that'd be all right too. That'd be all right. I don't deserve it. Psalm 130, let's look at that just a minute. Psalm 130. Now this is true repentance. You want to know if you've repented? Well, don't you listen to some silly preacher come and say it's to change your mind about something. Well, that's part of it. It's to quit your meanness and start walking right. That's part of it. But true repentance that glorifies God acknowledges his sovereignty, his majesty, vows in worship and fear and all. It acknowledges his righteousness and holiness. It takes my place before God as a wretched, wiggling maggot, a worm unworthy of his presence. Lord, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. And it justifies God in his judgments. If he sends a storm and a flood to Ashland, Kentucky tomorrow, we ought to be wiped out. I hear people, they get mad at God. Why'd the Lord do that? He ought to have done more. It's just his mercy that kept him from doing more. A flood came and there are 1,000 people homeless. By all acts of righteousness and justice, they all ought to have been homeless. It's just his mercy that kept him from consuming everybody.
We had a loss, a financial loss in our family. I wonder why God did that.
He ought to wipe you out completely if you got what you deserve.
You justify God in His judgments? Listen, Psalm 130, verse 1. Out of the depths of sin and misery and despair and wretchedness, I cried unto Thee, O Lord, hear my voice. O God, let Thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication, Lord, if You should mark iniquity, if You should charge sin, if You should deal with sin right now as it ought to be dealt with, O Lord.
Who shall stand? Huh? I believe that. It's time we started preaching in the language of the Scriptures. Lord, who shall stand?
Lord, if You should mark iniquity, who would stand? If You, right now this morning, in this nice, sweet congregation of lovely people who believe in Jesus, who try to pay their bills and treat their neighbor right and try to live honestly and try to give a tithe and a little gift here and there and keep the missionaries on the field, if God Almighty should mark iniquity right now, just the stain and spots and wickedness in your heart, I want to know who could get to his feet here this morning. Huh? Anybody want to stand up? I want to get out a little lower, don't you? See if I can get under this rug here. If God should mark iniquity, who shall stand? That's repentance. Oh, we're so high and mighty and haughty and proud. I just detest it, don't you? The more a fellow tries to convince me of his righteousness, the more I'm persuaded I am that he's a rebel. The more a fellow tries to persuade me how good he is, I know there's more hell in him than anybody walking. Outward claims cover inward corruption, usually. Outward piety covers inward putridness.
That's right.
If Christ lives in your heart, you're not running around trying to convince anybody of it. It'll leak out on you. Spite all you can do, Roth said. Four, true repentance glorifies God. Watch it now. You still with me? I've told you the truth so far, haven't I, Joe? This is true. True repentance acknowledges God's sovereignty, willingly and lovingly, and agrees to it and loves it. True repentance acknowledges God's righteousness and holiness and my sinfulness. True repentance says, whatever You do, Lord, it's right. It's right. Whatever You do, I bow. Your judgments are just. Clear when you speak. Now watch it. True repentance glorifies God by owning that it lies only with His sovereign mercy to graciously save me or justly damn me. Can you go with me there? Can you? You got that much grace? Have you got that much repentance to say, the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand? It was said to her, the elder shall serve the younger. I love Jacob. I hate Esau. What shall we say then to these things? What you going to say? Is there unrighteousness with God? Huh?
God forbid. For He said to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious. So then it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. True repentance glorifies God by owning that it lies totally and completely and wholly with His sovereign mercy to justly damn me or graciously save me. That's so.
And I tell you, a man hasn't repented. He may have religion, but he hadn't repented. He may have a profession, but he hadn't repented. Until he acknowledges that everything that he has, everything that he knows, everything that he'll ever be, is by the grace of God through Christ Jesus. Free grace. Totally by grace. Without any works on his part or contribution on his part, God loved him from eternity past and redeemed him at the cross of Calvary and called him by his grace and kept him by his love. It's all of grace. That's true repentance which glorifies God. Salvation's of the Lord. It's of the Lord. Nobody ever saved by accident.
Nobody's ever saved by his own free will. Every man who's saved is saved by the free will of God. I will, God said, be merciful to whom I will. Free will of God. That's so. He didn't have to save me. He did it because he wanted to.
He said, I can't take that. Well, and my friend, it's I wish you would, because it's the Bible. It's the way it is. It's scriptural. It's what God says. It's what God says. He's on the throne. He created the world as it pleases him. He's the God and sovereign of providence. He's the sovereign God of providence. And he is the God and sovereign and ruler and majesty in salvation. See, we were dead in trespasses and sin. He quickens whom he will. That's what he said. The Son quickeneth whom he will. Out of all of this world, he chose a sheep. He had the right to choose them. He had the power to choose them. And Christ died on that cross to redeem a people. He didn't die for the angels in outer darkness. He didn't die for the devils in hell. He didn't die for the rebels in hell. He didn't die for the Judases and Pharaohs and Herods walking this earth. He died for believers who trust him, who rest in him, of all generations. It's just so. It's what God said. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. I give them eternal life. They'll follow me. True repentance glorifies God in owning, publicly, privately, secretly,
and out in the open, salvations of the Lord. From Alpha to Omega, it's all of God.
That's good news. It's good news for somebody to tell me God can do what I can't do. It's good news for somebody to come and tell me there's a way out. God's made the way. It's good news for somebody to come and tell me that what I can't do, Christ did. What I can't supply, Christ Jesus has amply and effectually supplied sufficiently. That's good news. Election's not my enemy, it's my friend. If God didn't choose somebody, nobody'd be saved. If Christ didn't die for somebody, nobody'd be saved. Everybody'd go to hell. I'm so glad. And I'll tell you this, if he died for sinners, he died for me, because I'm one. If he died for the ungodly, he died for me. I'm ungodly by nature, by birth, by practice, by thought, by imagination, by association. Huh? Aren't you? So I'm going to claim it. I'm going to claim what's mine. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. That's me. I'm going to claim what's mine. He said, all you that are hungry, come. I'm hungry. I'm going to claim what's mine. Oh, everyone that thirsted, come to the water. I claim that. I'm thirsty. If it flows for the thirsty, I can furnish the thirsty sinner. If Jesus Christ died for sinners, here's one. God's looking for sinners. He needn't look any further. Jay's here. That's right. Isn't that right? I'm glad. The grace of God not only sent Christ to the cross, but showed me I needed him. And I'm glad. I'm glad I'm a sinner. You say, you proud to be a sinner? Yes, sir. Proud to be a sinner. My Lord died for those kind of folks. I'd hate to be what I know some folks think they are. Because there's no hope for them. I rejoice that God showed me my sin. I want to get a good look at it every day. A good look at it. I don't want to hide it. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. If we say we have no sin, we make God a liar. I don't want to be with that outfit. I don't want to be with those folks who claim to be perfect. They're going to hell, every last one of them. That's right. Christ died for sinners. The fifth thing, quickly, let me show you this. True repentance glorifies God by receiving the grace of God as it's presented in Christ Jesus. You want to glorify God in true repentance?
Kiss the Son. Oh boy, bow to the Son. God's going to honor those that honor His Son.
Preacher, you want God's honor? You want God's favor? You want God's smile to rest upon you? Preach Christ! Preach Him in the morning. Preach Him at noon. Preach Him in the evening. Preach Him at night.
God will bless you, I guarantee it. He that honors my Son, God said, I'll honor him.
Whosoever shall confess me before me, and I'll confess him before my Father which is in heaven. I own publicly and openly before every one of you, before the congregation of the righteous without any reserve, that Jesus Christ is my hope. He's my righteousness and holiness. I have none without Him. He's my refuge and my strength. That's the reason I read Psalm 62. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, though He be crucified. It's the power of God unto salvation. A fellow said to me last week, said, wouldn't you like to be baptized again and confess Christ? I said, come think, I believe I would. Why not? Wouldn't you like to tell the world that your hope's in Christ? We believe and assure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Make no bones about it. Make no bones about it. I don't want to be with that crowd that gives any glory to anybody or anything else. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Let that be repeated over and over again. Let it be preached. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Talk about it. Rejoice in it. Preach it. Review it over and over again. Worthy is the Lamb. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. I wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground, all other ground, all other ground is sinking sand. Whatever else you talk about. In the sixth place, you better find that refuge. There's no refuge anywhere else. Other foundation can no man lay. No other name under heaven given among men. I am the door, Christ said. No man cometh to the Father but by me, because I'm the way, the truth, and the life. In the sixth place, and I close, true repentance glorifies God. Listen to me. True repentance glorifies God by living the rest of my life walking in fellowship with Him and submission to His Word. Huh? That shows repentance. I tell you this. You can come with me up to this point, Joe, and not repent. I believe that. You can come with me right up here. True repentance acknowledges His sovereignty, acknowledges His righteousness in my sin, acknowledges His justice, whether the head or the heart, acknowledges His justice. True repentance confesses the justice of His judgment. It owns that it's in God's power to save or damn me. It looks upon Christ Jesus as the only Redeemer. But I'll tell you this, it receives Him and walks with Him, our fellowships with Him. Turn to Colossians. I'm going to read one scripture and close. Colossians chapter 1. In other words, true repentance will persevere. If it does not persevere, it's not true repentance. True repentance will continue in the faith. If it does not continue in the faith, it is not true repentance. I don't care if it's this preacher standing here, or that assistant pastor, or these preachers down front here, who it is. That repentance that does not continue is not repentance. That's so. Brother, I was thinking the other day, Brother M. Adkins was on the pulpit committee that called me as pastor of this congregation 30 years ago this year, September 30 years ago. He's been a deacon in this church and a faithful attender. But Am knows this, and I know it too. If he turns his back on Christ now, he'll perish. Isn't that right? Well, you know that, and I do too. And I've stood in this pulpit 30 years, but you know this in your heart. If I turn my back on Christ, I'll perish. That's so. The Word teaches that. It just showed John said they went out from us. He didn't say how long he'd been there. He didn't say how long he'd been there. You know who finishes the race? About crosses the finish line. I don't care if that horse ran right up to about 2 feet from it and fell over dead. He didn't finish. And he can't win. Isn't that right? Sure, that's right. He may have outlinked every one of them for 3/4 of the whole race. And he saw a flower garden out there and took off through the gate. Well, that's where he'll die, right up there in the flower garden. He'll never wear the laurel crown. That's what Scripture teaches. He says in Colossians chapter 1 and you, verse 21, you, You that were sometime alienated, enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and reprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. You know what I'm saying, my friend? If you can leave Christ, here's what I'm saying. You never really knew Christ, because to know him, there's nothing better. There's nothing to turn to. There's nothing better, is there? Nothing sweeter. There's no water sweeter than the water of life. There's no bread sweeter than the bread of life. There's no lover more wonderful than the lover of my soul. There's no foundation more firm than the foundation which is Christ Jesus. There's no peace like his peace. There's no joy like his joy. And if you can turn from it, you never knew it. That's what I'm saying. You never knew it. No way you could have known it. No way you could have known it. No way. You don't lay down life and pick up death
if you know what life is. Don't do it. That's repentance that glorifies God. It bows to Christ and finds... Let me tell you something. He said, take my yoke upon you. My yoke's easy. It's easy. My burden's light. Delightful. No better way than his way. Our Father, bless this word in your own way, for your own glory. Strip us where we need to be stripped. Break us where we need to be broken. Teach us where we need to be taught. Do what no man can do through the power of your Spirit. Do for me, for my beloved ones here, right here, for every one of us. And we trust your beloved brethren in the Lord Jesus. Give us true repentance. Lord, don't let me be deceived. Don't let these be deceived. Don't let us be wrapped up in a religious profession and play church in your sight and glory in those things that are an abomination to you and justify ourselves before men. God, open our hearts to your word and to your Spirit, to your truth, and bring us down right now in our hearts to bow before Christ in whatever office or character he's revealed to us. The sovereign king, lord, master, ruler, judge, reigner, whatever, even afflictor, thou art my God and my Lord. Do with me what you will, but be merciful to me. For Christ's sake I pray. Amen.